Welcome to Life's Issues with Lauren Jano, a show created to help you tackle life's greatest issues, from personal development to relationships, health, and business. Life's Issues is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Lauren Jano.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Life's Issues with Lauren Jano. I'm your host, Lauren Jano, coming to you live all the way from Toronto, Canada, every Thursday at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tough Talk Radio. I am so happy you are joining me here again today. And, you know, as a certified high-performance coach, my mission is to help as many people as possible transform themselves so that they are consistently living their best, most authentic, fulfilled, purposeful, happiest, and successful life. And so in addition to bringing you experts from around the world every week to discuss a range of topics from personal development to health, business, spirituality, relationships, and psychology, I'm also going to take a few minutes each week to share with you a high-performance coaching highlight and what I coach my clients on, all with the intention of inspiring and transforming you to a bolder life. But before I get to that, I just wanted to wish everyone in the States a very, very happy Thanksgiving and hope you are all having an awesome day. And really, my high performance highlight is kind of inspired by Thanksgiving in the States today. And that's about gratitude and how intentional are you about it in your life? And I know we've all heard this and we all, you know, speak about it. But it amazes me, and I see this all the time, is how many people are not intentional about acknowledging and expressing gratitude. And, you know, if someone brings the conversation up with them or asks them something, you know, then... and it comes to mind then there's that focus on it. But other than that, most people, it's random, it's infrequent. And I think that's, you know, probably not the best strategy to have. And think about, you know, how can you be more intentional about it? How can you be more connected to what is going on in your life and the level of gratitude that you have for it. And so whether that's, you know, developing a daily practice around it, whether it's developing a weekly practice around it, you know, for those of you that have families, you know, is there a way that as a family you can be intentional about it? And what's the focus of your gratitude? And is it specifically, do you find that when you are intentional about it, that it generally relates to only one area of your life? Or are you looking at all different areas of your life and what's going well in those areas? Are you considering how other people are contributing to the goodness that you are having in your life and having gratitude to them as maybe a catalyst to results that you are getting? And so, again, like all of these things require a little bit more thought, a little bit more attention and intention for a practice of gratitude to be more than just a superficial, quick thought that comes in and out of our mind from time to time. So that's the one thing to consider. And then the other is, are you selective in the things that you notice and appreciate and are grateful for? And so oftentimes when I speak to clients about gratitude and appreciation of what's going on for them, the focus is generally on the so-called big, significant, needle-changing things that have maybe happened. And the little day-to-day things are overlooked, taken for granted, and oftentimes not noticed. And again, like, I think there's a huge opportunity there for a shift in people's focus, because the needle-moving things, first of all, are less frequent because they're more significant. But the needle-moving events don't happen unless there's the consistent day-to-day wins and lessons that are happening and being applied. And so what I'm going to encourage you to do is to start focusing on, kind of turn it on its head and see, what are the so-called smallest, seemingly insignificant things that you can be grateful for within the day? And focus on those. And notice how many there are for you in a day. And notice how that shifts your energy and your mood, and how it shifts your focus and motivation for things. And then the third aspect of that I wanted to touch on is, how often and to what extent do you express your gratitude and appreciation to the people in your life that you are grateful and appreciative for? And again, often these things are taken for granted. They happen once in a while, maybe at birthdays, maybe around holidays. But, you know, when last did you reach out to someone who means something to you, who's important to you, and just share that with them for no other reason than to express how you're feeling and for them to know it? So a couple of things for you to think about, to hopefully take some action on and implement in your life, and then notice what happens. Notice the shifts and changes that occur, because they absolutely will be there. So that is my high performance highlight for this week. And now, before I introduce my first guest, as always, just want to make sure that you know that you can join the conversation today. Call in, ask questions, speak to my guests. Just phone in to 347-989-1363 at any time. Press 1 and my producer Tony will bring you onto the show. And then you can, of course, always listen in live by going to lifeissueswithlaurenjorno.com. We are going to take a quick commercial break, and then I will be back with my first guest for today.
If you know someone who wants the legal A-team on their side, have them call on Altenburn & Associates, the Legal Eagle, today. David Altenburn is an experienced and recognized top lawyer in Houston who will put an eagle's eye to protecting the client's best interests at all times. For any personal injury, family law, or business law concern, Altenburn & Associates can help with our connections that count and make a difference for great results. We work hard for the justice our clients deserve, earning client trust and opponent respect, one case at a time. For legal help, call 281-904-6330 today.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Lauren Jahno is an elite, international certified, high-performance coach, author, and speaker with over 15 years' experience helping clients transform so that they are living bolder, happier, and more successful lives. Through a combination of her world-class coaching program and exclusive assessments, her mission is to get to the crux of your issues quickly and accurately, and then guide you to achieve sustained and higher levels of clarity, joy, energy, connection, influence, and overall performance in every area of your life. To learn more or to contact Lauren, go to laurenjahno.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Life Stitches with Lauren Giorno, a show specifically intended to help you transform to a bolder life. I'm your host, Lauren Giorno, and I'd like to introduce you to my returning guests, Drs. Rob and Janelle Alex. They are experts in relationship and intimacy dynamics and are mentoring couples around the globe. They recently released their book, Richer Together, Secrets for Working, Living, and Loving Side by Side. Passionate about marriage and dating, secret animal powers, and transcendent lovemaking, Rob and Janelle are obliterating long-standing relationship myths. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Lauren.
Happy Thanksgiving, Lauren.
Happy Thanksgiving. Oh, my God, I'm so grateful to have you on the show today. I'm excited to chat to you again. I know last time we could have gone on forever, and I've just got my head's reeling with questions, so I'm excited to jump into it, but I wanted to find out from you guys, is there anything new, exciting, different going on since we spoke last?
Yes, I saw on Facebook this morning a picture of a couple of turkeys, and the one says, what are you thankful for? And the other one said, vegetarians. That's my excitement. I just think it was kind of cute, though, especially here in America.
That is cute. I like that.
So, we do have some new things going on. Of course, we have the Mission Date Night podcast, and we actually, even though, yes, it's Thanksgiving and technically a holiday here, we were on Skype earlier this morning with a new sponsor of ours, a new client as well, out of London, England. So we've been talking to, international
the world today.
We're feeling international.
Awesome.
Today. Yeah, it was lots of fun. So, that's a fun, exciting piece for us that we have that opportunity. And we also took on a new client recently. And, he's originally from Paris. And so, of course, everything happened here recently in Paris. And so, we had those conversations with him. How's your family? How is everything going on over there? And so just to be able to, I think for us, in just the last few weeks, we've just hit this place again of deep gratitude of having clients and friends around the country, but around the world.
Yes.
And so we feel honored and hope that we're giving that value back, because that's what our whole intent is. The other big thing, if we get to that today, is that we are currently, I was working on it before our call this morning, is a new compilation, a new print book that will be coming out, should be before Valentine's Day, which is the second version of our Sexy Challenges book. So that's the other big thing that goes on the Friday.
Yes, so we're very excited about that. Lots of great things going on. Lots of things for us to be thankful for.
Yes.
Awesome. So is there anything specific that you wanted to jump in with, or can I start firing away with questions?
Just fire away.
Fire away.
We are so free-flowing. We love that kind of conversation. Throw questions
awesome.
Out.
Awesome. And I literally don't have them written around, but they're literally like a tornado in my head. Okay. So my first question is, what would you say is the biggest mistake new couples make?
I think the biggest, from my standpoint, the biggest mistake new couples make is not understanding that they're going to have to keep working on their relationship over and over again. They just think that, we're married, we're in a new relationship, it's all beautiful now, we don't have to worry about it. They need to worry about it from the start. You need to be focused on it from the start and always and forever. If you want to have a great relationship, you've got to keep working on it. You've got to keep learning. You've got to keep improving. And that goes for both sides, not just one partner or the other.
And I think the other piece, because actually that was the first thing that popped into my head, but I think there's another huge piece that couples miss. And so often what happens is they do not have conversations about sex, about money, about whether or not they want children or how to parent, where they, what their perhaps, what they think their lifelong goals might be. Hey, I really want to live on an island someday, but yet they never bring this up with their partner. There's some really big things as well as those more daily things that they don't even communicate early in the relationship or before they get married. And that's a huge mistake, because that leads to a lot of problems further down the line.
Okay, awesome. So I have two questions coming off that one. So one is, okay, so let's start with how, like at what point do you have those conversations? I know it sounds like a stupid question, but at what point do you start having those conversations?
Pretty early on, to be honest. I mean, do you sit down on your first date and start talking about the details of what you like in your sex life? No, that's probably not your best, you know, time to do that. But you have to have those conversations. And, you know, within those first, well, it depends on how quickly your, you know, relationship progresses, in all honesty. So I guess there's never any one perfect answer, right? I mean,
No, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, if you fall in love or you think you've fallen in love very quickly, and if your sexual relations happen fairly early on, you know, when I say that, again, that could be the first week. It could be within the first 6 months. It depends on you and what you think soon is. It's a fuzzy word. But, you know, you've got to start to have those, you know, conversations quickly. So let's say in the financial aspect, you're talking about money. If you're beginning to do things together, maybe you're jointly paying for things. It could be your first vacation together. Maybe you're not yet sharing a home together. Or maybe it is. It's that place where you are like, you know, we're ready to move in together, or we're talking about marriage, if that's the case. You've got to have those conversations, if possible, before you do that. Now,
what?
When you have a conversation about your sex life before you first end up, you know, making love to each other, yeah, it's very likely not the case. Again, it depends on the individual. But you've got to start those communication pieces from the beginning. However, if you're listening out there and you're like, oh, Earth, we've been together 5 years, and maybe that's why we have some issues. Well, it's not too late. You just have to start the conversation now. You know, don't go, ah, we didn't do it. It's over. Forget it. You know, just start the conversation now without pointing fingers and blaming one another for anything.
Right. Okay. What's your thoughts on I guess, like, you know what, like, meeting someone and, like, it's instant, like, relationship straight away. They just know that they know. What are your thoughts on that? Like, just out of curiosity.
I mean, there's a lot of people out there that have said, you know, is love at first sight, things like that. But, you know, you still have to understand that there's a growing process. And we might think it's love at first sight, but we still have to work on a relationship. We still have to improve it. We still have to have that communication.
Right.
No matter how much love we're in. I mean, so to think that there's love at first sight and everything's picket fences and flowers and roses, you know, is silly, because we're all going to have issues in our life. So setting that process of talking and having that communication up early is important, even if it's just like you guys just click right from the start.
Well, I want to point out, and it's something that I actually don't talk about that often, but when Rob and I were dating, which has been 14 plus years ago now, I was seeing someone else at the same time. Oh my God, I was dating two men. But, you know, and the other gentleman, I was head over heels in love from the get-go. Rob and I took a little slower pace in that. And I don't know why, but obviously, who did I end up with? And I'm not saying that you can't be with a person that you think you're head over heels in love with from the beginning, but it wasn't meant to be. It did not work. And it was pretty evident that Rob and I were supposed to work. And that's the strength. And we built such an amazing foundation for our relationship. And, yeah, we had some struggles over the years. There's no doubt. But over the last, I don't know, 5, 6 years or so now, we just hardly ever argue even. We just have such a different place in our relationship and our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes from a deep honoring and respect of each other as well as our individual selves.
Yeah, and it's okay to fall in love like that, just love at first sight, love head over heels, but don't be blinded by it. Don't be like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm in love with this person, I just forget everything else.
Right, everything's perfect, you know.
Yeah, so, you know, always have that in the back of your mind, that not to be blinded by love, see it from all aspects. You can still love that person just as much and keep your awareness around
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm. So, in terms of communication, because obviously that's vital,
mm-hmm.
how do couples navigate when either both or one person is really uncomfortable either talking about something specific or just generally communicating their feelings, like, across the board?
Right.
How does the other person navigate that?
Well, first of all, it's about just stepping a little bit outside of your comfort zone. And the first thing that pops into my head goes to the bedroom. But people are like, oh, well, wait a minute. I'm either afraid to ask or let my partner know that I would like to do that or try that or that I don't like what he or she does because there's this fear piece in there. So when you come across one of those pieces, you have to approach it with, as I just said about Rob and I, you know, honor and respect for your partner, not, wow, you're crazy. Or when your partner says to you, hey, I want to try this. What do you think? If you go, oh, my God, you're a freak. You're a pervert. I don't think so. Done to your partner. Yes, it is funny, I agree. But what have you done to your partner?
You're really putting him in
that space of, wow, I don't feel safe. I'm not going to bring this up again or anything else for that matter. Instead, if you yourself are having a moment of going, no, don't want to talk about it, whether it's in or out of the bedroom, and you go, wait, and stop. Instead of just saying no, say, wait a minute. Let me think about that. Why am I uncomfortable with that? And so you've got to be aware because, you know, we're humans, so our defense mechanism naturally kicks in from psychology. So, you know, you have to kind of get a hold on the psyche and go, wait a minute, why? Why am I being triggered by that? Why do I just want to go, no, you're a weird, crazy person, or you really hurt my feelings there? Instead of placing it elsewhere, look back at yourself for a moment, which is a lot easier said than done. We all know that. But and take that moment back and then be willing to step a little bit outside your comfort zone so you can have some vigorous conversations with your partner.
Right, and dissect their question. Even speak it out loud from your point of view. Whatever they ask you, whatever communication they put towards you, just say it back and listen to it and see how it feels and try to get into their body and say, well, why would they be asking for this? Is there some specific reason? Am I not giving them ample opportunity to express themselves? And really look at it from that perspective. Step out of your body for a minute and look at it from their perspective and just see if that changes your viewpoint on it or, you know, allows you to be a little more open-minded than just being in your present self.
Well, another piece that I want to add there too, Lauren, is a big thing, Rob and I are big proponents of, is that whatever one partner's truth is, whatever they absolutely believe is the ultimate complete truth, doesn't mean that it's going to seem like the exact absolute truth for their partner. We have
Absolutely.
Our own truth. Yes, so we have those different lenses and we view things through different perspectives. And I can be like, but this is it. You know, I want to put my foot down and just stomp my foot and go, but this is how it is. And Rob or whoever, right, they could be standing there going, no, that's not at all how it is. That's not what I meant or whatever. So again, we're getting this as I know it's like the third time I said it, but it goes back to the honor and respect. And from both sides and saying, wait a minute, okay, hang on, let's think about this a little bit and see where we're both coming from.
Right. And the other thing that you mentioned, which I think is such a vital thing, just generally in communication and what so few people seem to do, is to take a step back, as you say, and look at it from the other person's perspective. And try and understand where they're coming from and not that we know, but at least to ask. Or, you know, so it's kind of being more inclusive, more compassionate, more understanding, and knowing that that's going to better the circumstance, whatever it is, whether it's work-related, friends, people in a relationship, you can't go wrong with that.
On that, Lauren, is when you are willing, even if you completely disagree with someone else, if you're willing to take that moment and go, you know, I want to see it from your perspective. It does not mean you're going to or have to change your mind, but you want to try to see it from that other person's perspective. And this, yes, it works in romantic relationships. It works great in work relationships as well, because guess what you do? You open the door to such amazing new creative potentiality.
Yes.
Right, and that it's quite okay for two people to have a different opinion, and that's okay. Like, not everyone has to see things the same way. And I think that's where having that respect, right? Respecting someone else's opinion, even those rules may be different and vice versa.
Well, and with that, I mean, Rob and I are, we try to be role models in that because we talk people all the time. There's a lot of pieces, things that we even teach about that we both kind of come at it from different places, or there's a few things that we stand on very different sides of the fence, if you will. But we don't argue about it. We just say, well, here's my take on it, and does that resonate with you? And then Rob would give his take on it, and does that resonate with the client or whoever we're talking to?
And just what Janelle said there is a great communication-building exercise. Just let somebody express their opinion. Tell them about, you know, how you feel about something and allow them the time to do it, too. We have had – this is like foreplay for me because we've had such long conversations over deep subjects that we don't agree on that it goes late into the night, and it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful. So don't think that just because you don't agree on something that it can't be a beautiful thing and it can't work in your relationship, because it can lead to some amazing conversations.
And what do you suggest, or what do you do in a situation, for example, where people are, you know, in a relationship and they can't agree on something, and I kind of, you know, like they've each got their different specs and they respect each other's opinion, but neither person's prepared to budge, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess it becomes a deal breaker, and then that's it. But I'd like to think that it doesn't have to be one or the other.
No, you can agree to disagree. You can just say, okay, I don't see it that way. I mean, I respect your position, but, you know, I don't see it that way. Now, there are some deal breakers, like
right.
If one partner says, I want to cheat on you, and the other partner says, no, that's not okay.
Right.
That's one of those
right.
that can't be looked at that way. But something that is just a difference of opinion, you know, religion's a big one in that. Religion is a huge one for people that say, well, we can't get along. Well, that's a bunch of crap, in my opinion, because, you know, there's all kinds of people all over the world from different religions, and most of them get along pretty well.
Right. Some obviously have an issue, and we all know that, and this goes on often. Thank you, terrorism. But, you know, I actually am thinking of my oldest son, and he and I completely are on different sides in how we feel about Hillary Clinton. Of course, I'm a big Hillary Clinton fan, and, of course, here in the United States, she's running, obviously, or trying to run for president, right? She's a candidate. And he's just like, no. And so he has his reasons. And the thing of it is, and he and I are very close, but we have conversations about it some, and we're like, well, okay, I want to hear why. Why do you think that way or feel that way? And I'm pretty sure I'm not going to change my mind because I've done a lot of research, but, you know, I still want to hear and respect his viewpoint. And we're trying to have different political perspectives because we kind of do. I mean, again, I don't mean to get into the whole politics thing, but we kind of have a little different take on Donald Trump because I'm like, oh, good Lord, no, right? And
right.
We've had conversations like, well, okay, maybe, what if? And the thing of it is, I have my stance, and that's okay. And like I said, I probably am not going to change it on this particular issue, but I still respect Rob's and my son's and my friend's or whoever's, because,
right.
you know, okay. So they look at it
yeah.
differently than I. That's okay.
Awesome. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so we have to get you back on because we're out of time and there's so much to still talk about. So
yeah.
Before we close the segment, can you please just let the listeners know where they can connect with you, get your books, reach out to you, what's the best option?
If you just go to missiondatenight.com, we have amazing, you know, in the blog there, we always post the different shows, and we air 3-4 days a week with our podcast, which, of course, is Mission Date Night, and we talk and we share and we bring amazing guests on as well. There's so many amazing things there. You can find access to pretty much everything that we do, how to work with us and so forth. The website's undergoing some changes, but it's still quite functional. But, hey, it's just like life and relationships. It's evolving too. So.
Awesome. I love that. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. Love to have you on again. And just enjoy the rest of your Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Have a beautiful day too.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. We are going to take a quick commercial break, and then I'll be back with my second guest.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live It Choice choose to make a difference. Live It Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveitchoice.com to get started.
Imagine taking your business to the masses using proven marketing techniques. What if you could take what you love and turn it into a six-figure business in the next 2 years? Or a $500,000 business in the next 3 to 4 years? Michelle Sism went from struggling to build her coaching practice to doing $500,000 in her business in less than 4 years when she uncovered the secrets to converting audiences to clients. In Cash In on Your Expertise, Michelle shares the exact strategy she used to build her business so quickly. Get your free copy today at www.cashinonyourexpertise.com.
Lauren Jahno is an elite international certified high performance coach, author, and speaker with over 15 years experience helping clients transform so that they are living bolder, happier, and more successful lives. Through a combination of her world-class coaching program and exclusive assessments, her mission is to get to the crux of your issues quickly and accurately, and then guide you to achieve sustained and higher levels of clarity, joy, energy, connection, influence, and overall performance in every area of your life. To learn more or to contact Lauren, go to laurenjahno.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Life Issues with Lauren Jahno, a show specifically intended to help you transform to a bolder life. I'm your host, Lauren Jahno, and I am so excited to introduce my second guest. I'm so excited I can't even friggin' talk straight. Kelly Lee Bennett, my good friend and colleague, is with us today. Kelly works with entire organizations, teams, and executives and entrepreneurs in transforming their behaviors, leadership styles, and team dynamics, and organizational culture as well, and also does a myriad of other things, but that's her focus. Kelly, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello, my darling. How are you? It's so great to hear your voice.
I know. So great to hear yours. I'm so excited to have you on the show. As you can tell, I can't even speak.
Wonderful. It's only me. So let's chat.
So how are you doing? How's work and everything going?
Wonderful. Well, you know, I've recently just relocated back to Canada after being away for 12 years. I was in Dubai for 7 and Houston for 3 and Palm Beach, Florida for 3, and now I'm back relocated, actually in my hometown, Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And, just getting reacclimated and repatriated back to Canada. But, of course,
yay,
I have many dear clients here, so it's not that difficult. But it's been great. It's been great. I've just been back since May.
Awesome. So I know you have, like, so many credentials and experience that is just insane. But share with us the focus of what you're working on now with your coaching and what's the demographic of clients and stuff that you're working on, and then we can kind of dive into how you help them and what are the challenges they're facing.
I've been a coach and management consultant for over 18 years, and so, of course, after 18 years, you start to acquire many different certifications and skill sets. The coaching, and not that I don't bring, life coaching into that, my hypnotherapy into that, or my, functional nutrition or my personal training and many other pieces that I love that are part of my passion as far as helping to grow and evolve human beings. But my focus really is executive coaching, working in the corporate world or with entrepreneurs, either one-on-one with senior leaders or emerging leaders, or with their entire executive teams or management teams. And in fact, more on the management consulting side, sometimes it's conflict resolution, sometimes it's like behavioral changes, organizational change, organizational policies, you know, true management consulting piece as well. But, you know, at the moment, I would say this year, especially now that I'm back in Canada, and in particular Calgary, there's been, and I mean, it's all over the world, not just here in Calgary, but, you know, most business, no matter what it is in Calgary, is contingent on the oil and gas industry, and there, of course, has been a downturn. And so no better time to begin to maybe look at doing things differently in a downturn. It's a beautiful opportunity. To start to look at things differently. Yeah.
So, I know probably a tough question to answer because every client is different, as we know, but are there any trends or similarities that you see with the executives of some commonalities between some of the challenges that they have in their life or their work?
I hope I'm understanding what you're asking, but I would say, so you're asking me what are some of the more common challenges that some of my clients would see that we need help with. Would say, if I was to think of, you know, Mr. or Ms. CEO of a large Fortune 100 or 500 or even an entrepreneur in a startup that's got some business experience under their belt, sometimes our greatest strengths and our biggest, largest passion can actually become our block and become our biggest challenge, in fact. You know, for example, if you've been a driver your whole career and you've shown great results and, you know, you've really set the world on fire, however, now you're moving into lead either as a CEO, COO, or CFO, or up to the board level, you know, that sometimes some of those greatest strengths, it's like Marshall Goldsmith's book, what got you here won't get you there. And that's intuitive, is to start to look at what our greatest strengths are and how are they getting in our way now. So that would be, you know, an example of some of the, and it sounds like a small issue, but it's when you start to deep dive on that, it's very interesting and really more self-awareness. I would say also on behaviors, I mean, sometimes it's simple behaviors, but the ability to truly communicate and engage your team and also along with that have difficult, fierce conversations and be able to, you know, discuss, debate, all out argue if you have to in a safe manner so that everyone is heard at the table when making decisions. And, I mean, really, truly be able to do that. There's lots of nice words around it and lots of heads nodding at a table when I mention this, but really to watch an executive team that thinks their behavior is cohesive, actually be able to do that is quite another. So that's a big piece. In particular, this last year really worked a lot on communication, conflict resolution, and behavioral coaching 101.
So what are some of the strategies or skills that you help clients with so that they can be successful and overcome those challenges?
Well, first, of course, and as you know, as a coach, I love to just, especially if I, you know, we would speak and meet the client if we could meet them or on the phone or Skype or whatever it is, and begin just with a verbal assessment. But there's nothing like using a more sophisticated psychosomatic testing, that's 360, something, just to have a baseline, just a foundation to go from. And it really does start with real self-awareness. And even as a coach, and Lauren, I know you and I have had many conversations about this, but coaches, therapists, social workers, sometimes we're the worst at self-awareness because we should know. And so, you know, and so I always like to say it to a client who's been very highly successful to say, look, there is no shame in having some blind spots. We all have them. Again, coaches, therapists, you know, workers, anybody. Sometimes we're actually the most unaware in certain areas or just not wanting to go there. So self-awareness is a big piece. It's not a small piece. It's a big piece. And it's not something to be brushed over. and they'd be able to digest that. And let's just say there's a trust issue. I'm working with a client right now, and it's about trust in their workforce. And so, you know, one of my questions to the team was, what's your piece in this? Never mind, you know, looking at everybody, looking outside of yourself, what is your piece in this trust issue? What part do you own? You know, is it storytelling? Is it, you know, whatever it is? That's not fostering a healthy, trusting, therefore, you know, committed, engaged workforce that can actually work together and make decisions together. So I think those would be the two biggest pieces that I lead in with. And then it goes in different directions after that. What is it we're going to work on? Is it communication? Is it presentation? Is it a conflict resolution? Is it, I don't know. It's really a million different things. It really depends on the client and their needs. But that self-awareness piece with assessment and then with much discussion and some one-on-one coaching, and then doing a deeper dive on that. And then it has to be what the client wants to work on. It can't be the coach telling them, hey, buddy, or madam, here's what I see. I mean, I could offer that up. I could ask permission to offer that up. But it really, you know, you can't lead a horse to water and make them drink. So it has to be that the client really willing and ready, like ready in particular, to really get to work on whatever it is that's maybe blocking them or holding them back a little bit, or their team or their whole organization.
Right. So what about what you mentioned earlier, the other issue in terms of that, you know, what's got us to where we are is not going to get us where we want to go, because often people's identity is so tied into that, because it is what's got them where they are. And so it's very hard for them to let that go or shift that. So what advice would you have for anyone listening who kind of recognizes that going on for themselves?
First of all, again, it would start with your self-awareness, and, you know, and of course, they're probably very aware, especially of their strengths. But then what I mean by the self-awareness is the self-awareness how perhaps that strength is actually their block right now. So if you've been a very strong influencer, let's say, throughout your career, and say in particular, very strong, you've been a really strong influencer, everybody loves you, you're really able to engage, but now you've just been moved up to COO, let's just say. And now you need to be a no-gun once in a while. That can be a little bit of a schizophrenic mix, because now people aren't going to like me. Oh, my God, I just feel uncomfortable with this. This is requiring me to grow and do something that makes me uncomfortable. So the advice on that is just to start baby steps. How much can you do? What do you commit to do? You know, it's really, it can be daunting when we look at, you mean I have to change my, I have to become an extrovert instead of an introvert, or an introvert instead of an extrovert, or I don't know if I can do that. But it's so not asking that. It's really, let's chunk it out. Let's break it backwards. Here's where you want to go. How do we, what behaviors do we need to maybe modify, not maybe even follow change, modify, look at, just do things differently, put a different perspective and spin on in your own head so that you can look at it differently and understand the value add of, you know, perhaps acting and behaving in a different way, where that might get you. And so it's really about baby steps. So the smallest changes over time, consistent over time, have the largest impact, rather than trying to take this whole thing on and, you know, I'm going to become a new person right in 90 days. Well, you know, that's not going to be, you might do it. It's like a diet. Okay, I said, you know, I'm going to work out every day and I'm going to have 1,200 calories a day. Well, you know, it's not sustainable. So it's about being sustainable. It's not just about a quick fix. It's over ball. There's no such thing. To have real change and health, ultimately.
So on that note of sustainable, and I so agree with you on that, how do you help your clients set them, so especially now this time of the year, like we're getting to the end of the year, heading into a new year, help them set themselves up so that in the new year, and they've probably got goals and things they want to achieve, that can help them be sustainable so that they actually get the stuff done that they want to do, which most people don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think, you know, as much as I hate, you know, New Year's resolutions, it just so happens that most people have time off over the holidays. And it's any time you have time off, whether it's a vacation on a beach or whatever it is a great time for self-reflection and just reflection on every area of your life. So I would say, first of all, start there and really give yourself the gift of time on that piece right there. Just stop reflecting on the last year, the last 5 years, and I would look at your, you know, sort of your all areas of your life, not just your career, now maybe not just your business, but certainly on your relationship, on your relationships, you know, your love relationships, your family relationships, relationships with colleagues, with clients, you know, your spirituality, your fitness, I mean, all of those areas, and really take the time on, you know, what's working and what isn't, and what pieces would you like to, if you could, wave the magic wand, what pieces would you like to change? And this is just your wish list, so it's nothing to get committed to, it's just brainstorming with yourself. So I would just go all out, what is your, you know, your, maybe at the seemingly unattainable, baby hairy, audacious goals, you know, what are they at this moment? And again, not that you're committing to anything, it's just using your creative side of your brain. If you could wave the magic wand, what would that look like? And then let that sit. Like, don't do this all in one sitting. I would let that sit and let that percolate in your subconscious. It will be working on it. And then I would go back to that and start to sort of whittle away at that. And I would only pick three things. Like, three is more than enough. And that is enough to be committed to actually see real change and real transformation and real evolution. Any more than that is way too much. But, again, not sustainable, not really doable. So some people try to take on too much, I think, when they're trying to, especially when they're talking
And the thing that you mentioned there that I think is important is to take time doing it. It's not like something you can sit down and knock out in half an hour. And I think the other thing is doing it when you're in a good frame of mind, your energy is good, because that impacts the decisions that you make as well. And so I think a lot of people kind of do this, like probably New Year's Day kind of thing, where they're exhausted from the year, they maybe were out late, you know, whatever, and they go, like, feel this pressure that they have to do it on January the 1st kind of thing, and then don't really put the thought into it that it deserves, and then wonder why, like, it all bombs out, like, before March kind of thing.
No, exactly. And then it's what I like to call Blue Wednesday, which usually shows up in March. It's that day you wake up in March. It might be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I call it Blue Wednesday when you're like, holy darn it, I am completely off track. I haven't done hardly anything that I said I would, or I've tried and I gave up, or all my triggers have been, you know, something just got me completely off the wheels and off track. So that's why I really would stress, absolutely, you know, as you're saying, take the time to just let yourself go and just be creative. And I would keep what you've written down, by the way. There's, like, all kinds of neuroscience. It's not as effective to type it into a computer or your tablet. Pen to paper is still how the brain likes to have things. It's connected. So pen to paper in a journal, I would absolutely keep your wish list and your big, hairy, audacious goals, because it's interesting when you look back and actually, just trust me on this one, look back at how much you have actually achieved, even if you've only picked these three things and you've just chosen to focus on those. That's the beauty and the piece of coaching, is that it's really difficult to work on one area of your life and not have it affect and spiral into every other area of your life. Personal, professional, behaviors, perspectives, mindsets, you know, everything. And so, you know, if you just pick the three that you deem are your priorities and just baby steps, nothing crazy, and just make it absolutely sustainable and doable and stick with it and check in with yourself maybe once a month, where am I at? How am I doing? Is this even where I want to go? Is this feeling good? Is this how I thought it would roll out? Whatever it is, and what changes do I need to make? And you know, sort of just make yourself a plan. You know, it's the old saying, if you, oh gosh, I don't know if I can remember it now. It's, you know,
If you don't plan to fail, if you don't have a plan, you may fail. And if you don't work the plan, you're going to fail and go completely screw it up. Anyways, the whole thing is doable, that you can be committed to, and that you're checking in and making tweaks and changes along the way.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's another key thing, is that when people don't accomplish their goals, that often the reaction is, well, I'm not disciplined, I didn't have the time, and all these other things. But
right.
often it's not that. It's that they didn't set the right goal for themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
And so,
right.
And so it comes back to that point of really thinking it through properly, what you think you want to do and what it's going to take to get there, and whether you're willing to put in the work to get there.
Right. Right, exactly. And sometimes you need to start out on that journey and see, and not realizing, just, naively, like, how much work really is involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might back and say, okay, you know what, I'm going to pitch this out a little bit, or choose something else from my list, or whatever at this time. So, yeah, that's a good
right.
idea. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, Kelly, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. Time has gone quickly, and I'd love to have you back when you have time again. But before we close off, how can listeners connect with you, work with you? What's the best way to reach you?
Yes, well, thank you. Lauren. This has really been great. And, of course, always wonderful and fun to chat with you. Well, at the moment, my website, I've taken it down. I'm rebranding. That's a business in itself, I'll tell you. But my website is kellyleebennett.com, and it's Kelly with a Y, middle name Lee, L-E-E, and Bennett with two N's and two T's, kellyleebennett.com. My email is Kelly, again with a Y, at kellyleebennett.com. And also, you can find me on social media, on Instagram. Just Google Kelly Lee Bennett, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. I mean, we're everywhere. We're coaches. That's how we.
Awesome.
I'd be thrilled to hear from some of the listeners. That would be wonderful. So, thank you.
Awesome.
And thank you so much. And happy Thanksgiving to all our American friends.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so
yeah.
much. I know we'll be chatting soon and offline, but thank you so much. And have an awesome rest of your day.
Thank you. You too, buddy. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. We are going to take a quick commercial break, and then I'll be back to wrap up the show.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Lauren Jano is an elite, international certified, high-performance coach, author, and speaker with over 15 years' experience helping clients transform so that they are living bolder, happier, and more successful lives. Through a combination of her world-class coaching program and exclusive assessments, her mission is to get to the crux of your issues quickly and accurately, and then guide you to achieve sustained and higher levels of clarity, joy, energy, connection, influence, and overall performance. in every area of your life. To learn more or to contact Lauren, go to laurenjohnno.com.
Welcome back, everyone, and thanks so much for listening in again today. As always, the question I leave you with at the end of my show is, what will you take away and implement in your life to create something different? Because as we know, without action, nothing changes. So on this Thanksgiving Day in the States, what action will you take? Keep in mind that this hour is all about you, and if there's anything you'd like to hear about on the show, please don't hesitate to contact me. You can connect with me via Facebook or my website, laurenjohnno.com. And you can also download a copy of my free 7-day mini transformation mastery program there. And if you'd like to listen to any of my previous shows, you can now find them all on iTunes and download the podcast. If you would like to be a guest on the show, please go to lifeissueswithlaurenjohnno.com and fill out a registration form. And my takeaway for you for today is, what are you most grateful for today? And I'm going to challenge you to make a list of 20 things that you are grateful for. And if any of those involve other people, to let them know it. Thanks again for listening in today, and make sure you join me next week if possible. Until then, embrace your inner truth, live your purpose, and make your contribution in the world today.
You've been listening to Life's Issues with Lauren Johnno on the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com for more information.